This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
What we're doing today is we're actually picking up where we left off from last week. If you recall, last week we shared a verse at the very beginning of the time together, Job 42, verse 2. Job is speaking to the Lord after they've had this long debate in the book of Job over whether or not Job was really righteous or whether or not God was punishing him for his sin. Job tells the Lord, "I know that you can do anything and that no plan of yours can be thwarted." You see, if we live in the awareness of God's sovereignty, then we can have hope through any and every circumstance. Every situation, no matter how bad, are instances of God calling to our hearts. He's inviting us to come to Him and to let Him comfort us with the truth that He has chosen the very best path for us. For real, whether we realize it or not, any other path would have been worse. In some cases, that may be hard to believe, but it's true. Another way would not bring about the greatness of His plan, and we'd be less able to come into His loving arms and loving care. The world would even have a tighter grip on us. And that's a scary thought. The way it is the best way, believe it or not. And we have the best potential to know God with even greater intimacy in our present circumstances. One of the best stories that illustrates this point, ironically enough, is from the book of Job. And yeah, we remember Job. He lived a righteous life and feared the Lord. God had blessed him with kids, a wife, lots of possessions. Well, then the adversary stepped in and asked permission to mess with Job. We find it strange that God said, "Yeah, okay." So in a day's time, or a couple of days, or however long it was, Job lost everything. He buried all 10 of his kids. So he tore his robe and sat down in sackcloth and ashes. He scratched his sores with a piece of clay pottery. And yes, that sounds totally gross. And yet, and possibly unbelievably for us to fathom, Job never once shook his fist at God for letting it all happen. Job chose to say, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He worshiped the Lord under those unbelievable circumstances. But yet, Job understood something that we need to understand today. Nothing is outside of God's control or reach. Job knew his source, and he never lost sight of that. And in the end, Job received from God more than what he had had before. So, what's another really good passage that talked to us about being able to just know that God is in control and that most of the things we fear are products of a lie of the demon that's been sent to harass us? And that's in Isaiah chapter 40, and it's in verses 28 and 29. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 and 29, and once I read it to you, it'll sound familiar. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to His understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless." Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. That line right there ought to be enough to touch our hearts and help us hold it together when things seem like they're going way out of control. You see, everything that really matters in this life hangs on who God really is. And that's really a good thing, because Isaiah tells us some important things in this passage. First, he tells us that God is everlasting. We've covered this reality before, but it's still true. We humans are confined by time, right? We are ruled by time. We speak of being on time. And that's still a good thing, by the way. And of not being late to something. We have to be at work or school at a certain time. We're stuck in a specific place and time called the here and the now. We get overwhelmed by the tyranny of the urgent. We get squeezed and pressured by deadlines and other details. We make costly errors because of our own misperceptions of time. We goof up. We sin because we presumed about the time something was going to happen. Well, here's the good news in this. God is not confined or limited by time. Think of this awesome reality. God is equally present to and in all points of time all at once. That's how we can say God knows our past, and that's how we can say God knows our future. It's because He hasn't just already been there. He's already there right now. God is in our future right at this very minute. God is still in our past at this very minute. And you know what this means? He's way ahead of us. So let's not panic. Let's not get hot and bothered so that our antiperspirant protection begins to wear off. And let's not get upset if our plans are not working out on our schedule, which frequently they don't. He's working out His purpose in our lives in His own way. He's not hurried in the least. And yes, that's really frustrating to all of us who are confined to a time and place. God's not nervous about the clock or a stopwatch. He's not desperate. He's God. He's eternal. And He has our lives well under His sovereign grace and His eternal watchful eye. The next thing we can get out of this passage is that it teaches us that God is the Creator. He made all of this. There is not one square millimeter of this vast universe, let alone on this earth, that is unknown to Him nor outside of His presence. Anywhere our call or our life takes us, God is already there waiting for us. No matter where we are in all of His creation, we're in His grace, His mercy, and power at any and all times. The third thing is that God doesn't get tired. In the eternity of God, He doesn't need a nap. He doesn't need 8 hours of sleep each night. He doesn't get exhausted, nor does He ever come close to passing out because of dehydration or fatigue. He is in no need of refreshing. We are the ones that need rest, relaxation, water, food, exercise, and a host of other things to keep us in our rhythms and in shape. But think about this. We need 8 hours of sleep each night. Whether we get it or not is another issue. That's beyond the scope of this sermon. That means if we get that, we spend 56 hours of each 168-hour week sleeping. Based on some basic math, that's about one-third of the time. But God doesn't need that rest like we do. In each of our waking moments, while we're fretting over what's going to happen, He's busy actively carrying out His plan for the earth's 6 billion other people all at once. He has it in His hands. He is forever able. He is forever ready. He is forever alive and active. Then there's the last one of these things we can rejoice over because of God's amazing power. There is no limit to His understanding. He really is a know-it-all, in the best form of that phrase. He's better than any counselor. He's wiser than the smartest PhD scholar. He's sharper than any seasoned mathematician. He's more insightful than any philosopher or sage. Yet there's more. This verse is intended to put to rest our notion that we need to try to figure out God. Forget it. It's not happening. We're not going to be able to figure out God. All we need to know is what He's revealed to us. But let's admit it. How many of us have tried to figure out God, or at a minimum, what God is doing in our lives? But let me clarify something. This isn't the same thing as seeking to know His will for our lives, for each one of us. That's a plan He does reveal in His time. But still, we still try to figure out, God, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis? And we may figure out a clue here and there as he might reveal it. Yet it's likely that for any one or two details we figured out, there are probably thousands of other details that are unknown to us. By not telling us what they are, he's trying to tell us, you don't need to worry about that. And here's the comforting part again about God's sovereignty. If things in our lives aren't exactly the way we want them to be, which may often be the case, we can rest easy knowing that our lives are exactly the way God wants them. He really does know what he's doing. He's on top of things every second of our earthly sojourn. So what we need to do is come to the place where we can live out our lives in Christ, not by explanations, but by his promises that we find in his word. Do you see the difference? If we live by explanations, we're going to be disappointed because he doesn't often find the need to explain things. If we live by his promises in his word, we will be comforted and assured that everything is under his control. Still, sometimes we think we're going to give out. We can't take it anymore. We're weary. We're worn out by life. We're simply overwhelmed by all this going on around us. And it's a sure thing now we might be feeling a bit overwhelmed by what's going on in our country at the moment. We might be growing tired and weary of seeing the news about actual groups trying to force themselves into control of our cities and towns by the reports of the violence that's going on around us. And we're going, God, what's going on? We may be weary of hearing accusations of injustice. But rest assured, even as events seem to be spinning out of control and that we may be growing weary, there's verse 29. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. He's the source of all of our strength, too. Yes, we need rest. Yes, we need water. Yes, we occasionally need to eat, probably not nearly as much and as often as we do. But this verse promises us something incredibly precious. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. In this passage, the faint are those whose faith is either in neutral or whose faith is slowly ebbing away. They've been in spiritual battles. They fought the good fight. They were prayer warriors and evangelists, but they're getting worn out and tired. And it's in those moments when God puts his loving hand upon their shoulders and on our shoulders, possibly if that's us, and says, hang on, my precious one. I am with you. And I will restore the faith and the vitality you once had. Remember that old song, Jesus loves me, this I know. We are weak, but he is strong. There's gospel truth out the wazoo in that one line. We don't have it, but he has the strength we need, and he's willing to share it with us and give it to us and restore what's broken. We have to end there today so we can say, for what we've just heard, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.